Coming up, Rabbi Akiva Tatz is back, and he has some great insights about Chag Sukkot. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Dean. And if you like to read a variety of books with authentic Jewish values, we read you loud and clear. How many times have you heard or asked that timeless question, read any good books lately? Well, in just a little while, we'll check in with this week's Reading Table contributor. But first, my featured guest this week is Rabbi Akiva Tatz. He's written a number of books on the subject of Jewish thought and philosophy, including Anatomy of a Search, World Mask, The Thinking Jewish Teenager's Guide to Life, Living Inspired, Will, Freedom, and Destiny, As Dawn Ends the Night, and most recently, Shabbat and the Festivals, Journey and Destination. Welcome back to 613 Books Podcast, Rabbi Akiva Tatz.
Thanks, Heather. Great to be back with you again on your podcast.
On page 88 of your Sefer Shabbat and the Festivals, you write, quote, "On Shabbat, we celebrate the total cessation of movement. On festivals, we celebrate elements of the journey's progress. Festivals focus on the steps of the journey. That's why the festivals are called regalim." So my question is, what progress or steps of the journey are we celebrating on Sukkot?
Thank you very much for that good question. Yes, that's touching on the essence here. Before we discuss Sukkot, let's just revise the concept of what we mean by progress on festivals. Very briefly, Shabbat, as we say, is a destination, an endpoint. That's why all activity ceases on Shabbat. Shabbat means to sit, you've come home. That is tachlit, that is endpoint, and it's me'en olam haba. It's a premonition, if you like, of living in another world where no progress can take place. Incidentally, that's why on Shabbat we do no creative activity. We're practicing, or if you like, living in a domain or a dimension where no creation can take place. This is reward and endpoint, not construction. However, festivals are not like that. Yomim Tovim are elements of the journey. Here's a beautiful way to say it. Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein used to put it like this. He said, Shabbat is a destination. Festivals are stations. One is a destination, the other is a station. Station means a temporary cessation. You get off the train at a particular point on the journey. The journey is not completed, but you get off at that particular point in the journey to revel in the message of that leg of the journey, if you like. So, for example, as Jews celebrate the Pesach, what are we doing? We're getting off the train. We stop creative activities to a certain extent, not like Shabbat. You can cook and various other things. But the point is to revel in and be immersed in that step of the Jewish journey. You know what it means to be a Jew? Lived at a Pesach and became carved out of the non-Jewish background to become that people that trudges through their cosmic trek through the desert, carrying that Sefer Torah to a cosmic, you know, endpoint. That is an amazing, exhilarating feeling. And once you've absorbed that and internalized that, you get back on the train and the journey continues. A few weeks later, you get to a Shavuos, Shavuot. Amazing experience, cosmic, the greatest experience in history, where we stood at Sinai and received the Torah. So you internalize that aspect of the journey. Each festival is another step on a journey. And the joy of festivals, and this is why on Shabbat the work is rest. But on festivals, the work is not rest. On festivals, the work or the effort or the headspace, if you like, of a festival is joy. And the reason is because every festival is a step on the journey, and joy is always felt as the journey progresses. Festivals are called regalim, as you said. They are pilgrim. They move. They walk. Moed means moving towards destination. And therefore, every festival, the joy of the festival, is the feeling of progress. Heather, you cannot be depressed when you're productive. When you're productive and you're moving towards a goal, no matter how hard the journey, no matter how arduous and torturous the journey, when you feel progress taking place, you feel joy. And that's the secret of the festivals. Now, Sukkot is unique. Sukkot is the time when the Torah specifically points out joy. And here the reason is because Sukkot, more than any other festival, is where journey meets destination. After all, Sukkot is the harvest festival. You bring it all home. You bring it into the sky. You bring all the crops and the produce. They're assembled now. Again, and every other festival, it's planting. It's watching the growth take place. But Sukkot, where you harvest and you bring in all the food that you'll have enough for the winter. And therefore, the concept of Sukkot is it's another festival, indeed, another aspect that celebrates the Jews' journey through the desert when we lived in Sukkot. But it also has that overtone of where the journey meets destination. It's all done now. You have all the produce and all the wherewithal, and therefore Sukkot is uniquely. The Torah also commands joy when it comes to Pesach. Every festival has a mitzvah of joy. But Sukkot has something unique, and that is sitting in that sukkah, reveling in another step of the journey and also reveling in being in the shadow of faith, as Zohar calls the sukkah. You're living with Hashem, right? With all of Jewish history represented, all seven elements of the great personalities of Jewish history, they're all brought home to enjoy that festival in the sukkah. And that's the essence of the joy of Sukkot.
Right. I mean, a lot of the talk of the simcha of the chagim in your sefer talks about that simcha is very present state. And you were talking about something I was just wondering, you know, because I always thought that simcha is really connected to the happiness feel when we've reached a destination and it turned out well.
Indeed. There are two elements to simcha. One is the joy of movement, and that can be felt despite the pain and sometimes because of the pain. Here's a person working out in a gym, right? They're picking up weights and they're stretching springs and they look terrible. And meantime, they're loving every moment and they're paying for this experience. And the reason is when we're working hard and we feel progress taking place, it's exceptionally joyful. But then there's another type of joy. And that is when the work yields the result. When you hold that beautiful object in your hand that you spend hours making, it's not the aesthetic that moves you. It's how much of yourself is invested in this thing. And therefore, the joy of the journey, which incidentally is an anticipation. And very often in life, the anticipation is better than the result. Mm-hmm. But the anticipation is joyful as you relish the thought of reaching your destination. And when you reach the destination, what is the joy? It's experiencing how much of yourself is invested, the risks you took and the work you put in to get there. And therefore, it's a different type of a joy. It's a joy combined with sense of reaching destination. So anticipation, the tension of anticipation is joyful as you feel progress taking place. And then the result of the anticipation, when you finally step off into that final destination, that's a very different sort of a joy. But there are two poles, I would say, or two aspects of the same experience. There's only two ways out of a life that is going nowhere, where the journey is not taking place. One is depression. Mm-hmm. Soul feels the cold hand of death as life does not move. And the other, yeah, is worse. And that's people who get involved in building things and moving frenetically, but in things that are meaningless. Here's a person who builds muscle or money or political power or a beer can collection. That will keep you happy till the end of your days. But tragically, that doesn't result in anything meaningful being built.
Yes. I'm glad you bring that up also, because it's also in this section, when you're talking about simcha, you do also mention depression, which I think is very helpful also for readers to understand when you address that and you address it in terms of stasis, which is what you've been talking about as far as depression. So it's important to at least identify that in order to begin pulling oneself out of that so that they can fully enjoy life and, of course, fully enjoy the chagim.
But let's just mention to listeners that we're not talking about clinical depressions or medical or genetic issues. We're talking about life depression from a life that's going nowhere. And the solution to that, of course, is movement.
Right. For our listeners who will be in a part of the world where inclement weather prevents one from dwelling in the sukkah, are they missing out on some of the simcha that corresponds to Sukkot?
Well, indeed, people who cannot fulfill a mitzvah, they're losing out on the joy of the mitzvah. But you know, if it's not your fault, if you're living in a part of the world where you don't do what you did in Israel, but it could rain as well. So here Hashem has deprived you, and it's quite a serious thing when Hashem has deprived a person of the opportunity. That doesn't apply in other countries where the deprivation is not because of something that one has done, but simply, you know, you happen to be living in Antarctica, you know, and when you want to put up your sukkah, there happens to be a blizzard, you know. That's not in any way a spiritual discredit. But again, a well-adjusted person understands that any circumstances you find yourself in, you rejoice and you live fully in that moment. So if you're able to fill the mitzvah of sukkah, wonderful. But let's say you can't, but samachta b'chagecha. This is a person who will take joy in the festival itself. And I would say that the most important aspect of emotional health is what the psychologists call being well-adjusted. Well-adjusted means knowing who you are, where you are, what your opportunities are, and using what you've been given to the maximum. Wishing you have been given other gifts is not functional. And if you weren't given the gift of sukkah this year, then you may adjust to it by using every other aspect of the mitzvah that you can and polishing it to perfection.
Very nice. Thank you so much, Rabbi Akiva Tatz, for sharing your wisdom and so many insights about Sukkot that your readers can gain from your most recent Sefer, Shabbat and the Festival's Journey and Destination.
Thank you. Thank you for publicizing my book. I myself believe that it's a good book, and I think everyone should be reading it. As I always say, if you want to understand it deeply, you need to buy two copies.
That sounds like a great idea. Thank you. Rabbi Akiva Tatz founded the Jerusalem Medical Ethics Forum, of which he is director, for the purpose of teaching and promoting knowledge of Jewish medical ethics internationally. He currently lectures on Jewish thought and medical ethics at the Jewish Learning Exchange in London, where he has been based for more than 20 years. He is also a regular speaker for Olami. For more information about Rabbi Akiva Tatz and to purchase your copy of Shabbat and the Festivals, check out the show notes to this episode.
And now it's time to find out what is on the reading table of today's Jewish movers and shakers.
And a few weeks ago on 613 Books Podcast, educator and author Sarah Blau was my featured guest, and we spoke about two of her most recently published books, Thought Streams, and Close to You. Well, Sarah is on the line to tell us about one of the books on her reading table, and I can't wait to hear about it. Okay, Sarah Blau, what is on your reading table?
Hi, Heather. One of the books on my reading table are Creating a Life That Matters, How to Live and Love with Meaning and Purpose by Rabbi Manus Friedman and Rivka Goldstein. And I love everything that Rabbi Manus teaches. I've watched his videos, but somehow when I read this book that Rivka actually transcribed based on Rabbi Manus's classes, it really, really, really gave me a view of life, of purpose, of the most important thing for a person to have is to feel needed. God needs us to have a mission. This is what is going to keep me alive and, you know, so full of passion and fire. And the book talks all about that, creating a life that matters, what matters. And it talks about life, love, God, home, facts, truth, consequences, the good, the bad, human psychology, so many topics that are so relevant to us in the modern world. And we really crave that Torah everlasting wisdom to really guide us. So that's why this book is on my reading table, Creating a Life That Matters.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Blau has written over 20 children's books, as well as 150 articles on Chabad.org. And you can contact Sarah by email, info@sarahblau.com. And we have links for you in this episode's show notes that you can click and buy Sarah's books. And while you're there, our show notes also include links to more details about Rabbi Tatz's new Sefer, as well as links to purchase your own copy. Also, we've included a link to Rabbi Tatz's website. It's all there for you in the show notes. And that's what's on the shelf for this episode of 613 Books Podcast. I'm Heather Dean. Thanks for listening.
613 Books Podcast is produced and hosted by Heather Dean. Senior producer and director of operations, Greg Cohen. Consulting producer, Yiska Roth. Show announcer, Michael Doniger. Remember to like and subscribe to our show on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your own preferred app, and never miss an episode. You can find all episodes of 613 Books Podcast by visiting our website, heatherdeanproductions.com.